Housing affordability is a major issue in every state across the nation. The people of California want the state to do something about it. That's where Proposition 33 comes in. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Rents are sky high in California. Many believe it's due to a Rental Housing Act passed in 1995. Joining me on the exchange to shed light on this issue is Susie Shannon, the campaign manager for Yes on 33. Welcome, Susie.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, let's start with some basic background. What happened in 1995 and how did it affect the rental market in California?
Sure. So in 1995, corporate landlords and the real estate industry got together to pass what is called the Costa-Hawkins Act. And they had actually made several attempts to pass this in the state legislature. And in 1995, under a very conservative governor, Pete Wilson, they were able to get this passed. And it's basically fairly simple. The point of Costa-Hawkins was to prevent local communities from expanding rent control. And so it also had a provision in it that said that if a tenant moves out, an existing tenant, that landlords could raise the rent to whatever they wanted, whatever the market would bear. And that then, you know, it would lift up basically prices in all of these communities and different neighborhoods.
So and basically unfettered capitalism.
Yeah. So, and what we've seen since it passed in 1995 is that rents have gone up. Homelessness has gone up, and it's had a detrimental impact on communities because a lot of tenants have been displaced because they just can't afford the rent increases. And there has been a lot of gentrification in neighborhoods. And we've also seen that in the last 5 years, 1 million Californians have just left the state altogether.
Wow. So Prop 33 will repeal the Costa-Hawkins Rental Housing Act, right?
Yes. And it's very important that we do that because otherwise rents can just keep skyrocketing in communities up and down California. And we've seen that it's just unaffordable for people. It's just everyone feels that squeeze. And even if they don't feel it, like maybe a homeowner may not feel it, but, you know, their grandparents who may be, you know, seniors on a fixed income who are renting an apartment or adult children who can't move out of the house because they can't afford the rent or people who are just starting out in terms of working, you know, new workers. And then also people who are trying to just save up to buy a house because they spend so much money on rent, they just can't afford to save up for that elusive down payment. And so it's really affected all of our communities. But, you know, for every 5% increase in rent, another 2,000 people become homeless, according to a Zillow study. So we've also seen this massive increase in homelessness since 1995 in the state of California. And now we have 186,000 people who are homeless. And the new figures show that we're up another 5,000 people who have become homeless in the last year.
So tell me about Prop 33. What is it designed to do and what will happen if it passes?
Sure. So it is designed to put local communities in the driver's seat. Because right now the state actually prevents local communities from expanding rent control. And so this will take away Costa-Hawkins and it will allow every single city and county to expand rent control. That means, so currently the law is that you can't have rent control for any building built after 1995. And if you already had rent control as a city when Costa-Hawkins passed in 1995, you were grandfathered in at the date that it passed. So for instance, in Los Angeles, you have to live in a building that was built in 1978 or earlier in order to have rent control. In San Francisco, which is, you know, our second largest city in California, you have to live in a building that was built in 1979 or earlier in order to have rent control. And so this would allow like the county supervisors or the city council members, or even through a citizen-based initiative at the local level to say, we want more buildings covered. You know, we want buildings covered until you know, 20 that were built in 2015 or before, or 2020 and before. And it would allow the local communities to make their own decisions so that it's not a one size fits all in the state.
So what I understand is that if Proposition 33 passes, it doesn't guarantee rent controls. It just opens the door for local governments to determine for themselves whether or not they want to establish some sort of rent control.
To decide whether or not they want rent control, and also to decide what that looks like. Because what's going to work for people in Los Angeles is not necessarily what's going to work for people, you know, who live in Lake Tahoe, you know, or in Fresno. And so we all know that, right? Because there are different issues and different, you know, rents in these different municipalities. And so it just allows for those communities basically to be in the driver's seat again, so they can, you know, take on really what we're seeing is our corporate landlords who are, you know, price gouging and price fixing in these communities.
Okay, so why is a statewide proposition really necessary? Couldn't the state or your organization just contact all the landlords and politely ask them to voluntarily lower the rents to a reasonable rate?
Right. I mean, the issue is that there isn't just a landlord. The problem is that a lot of these rental units now are owned by these very, you know, large corporations, and the CEOs are billionaires. And so the bottom line for them really are profits. Profits and shareholders and, you know, the entire system here. And unfortunately, it's the renters and really it's the community, I would say, that is really getting the short shrift here. As rents go up, homelessness is going up. But it's not the corporate landlords that are left holding the bag for that. It's not the corporate landlords who are paying for the increase in homelessness. It's, you know, your city or county, it's the taxpayer that gets stuck, basically paying the price for that. And so it would be great, but we're not really talking about individual landlords so much as we're talking about these corporate entities that are, you know, in many cases also in Europe and other countries, and their bottom line is profit.
I'm talking with Susie Shannon, the campaign manager for Yes on 33. Prop 33 seeks to open the door for the state to impose rent controls on landlords to make California rental housing more affordable. Now, Susie, you have critics. What would you say to a critic of Prop 33, for example? The vice president of public policy at the Bay Area Council said this: on paper, it would be legal to build new homes, but it would be illegal, largely speaking, to make money doing so. Well, Susie, are you against landlords making money?
No, as a matter of fact. I'm not exactly sure like what study they're looking at, but we have looked at a lot of studies from UC Berkeley and from, you know, a number of economists who wrote a letter to President Biden. And basically, those studies say that rent control does not affect new housing. And, you know, you could debate that, I suppose, except we know what California looked like before Costa-Hawkins passed in 1995. And at that point, in the 80s and early 90s, there was a huge construction boom. And rents were, you know, reasonable. And we didn't have this growing homeless population. And it was after Costa-Hawkins passed that it actually, you know, rents went up, homelessness went up, people were having a much harder time living here. And so there are a number of studies, though, that put the kibosh on all of the argument about it inhibiting new construction. It really doesn't.
Susie,
initiative itself is 23 words. It doesn't prevent anyone from pulling a permit to build new housing. Yeah.
Susie, you have another critic. Californians for Responsible Housing said this: Prop 33 will not increase funding for affordable housing. It will not force local governments to build more affordable housing. It will not provide any immediate relief to people facing homelessness. Is this true?
No. So what this does is preserve affordable housing, right? So our rent-controlled stock in California is some of the most affordable housing stock that we have. If we lose that by allowing landlords to just raise rent to whatever they want, regardless of the community, regardless of it's a senior on a fixed income, et cetera, then we get the situation we have now. Costa-Hawkins as well, which is the law that passed in 1995, prevents the building of affordable housing. So what we saw here in Los Angeles, we passed a law that for inclusionary zoning. And that basically just means that when you build, you know, a new building with units in it for people to rent, that 15% of that needs to be affordable. Well, Jeffrey Palmer was building in Los Angeles a 350-unit building. And he basically sued the city of L.A., and said, you can't force me to have 15% of the units be affordable because Costa-Hawkins allows me to set whatever the initial rents are. And so he won. And so he was able to stop this law that the city of Los Angeles had passed to try to increase affordable housing. So if we're going to have these laws in California for inclusionary zoning, which is mandating a certain percentage of new units be affordable, we have to get rid of Costa-Hawkins. And that means Prop 33 needs to pass.
Okay. So it sounds like the rent hikers are winning, and Prop 33 will give more leverage to folks who want more affordability. But
yeah, and if I could point out too that Californians for Responsible Housing is the committee that the corporate landlords created, and they're getting millions and millions of dollars from corporate landlords who are putting money into that committee.
I got you. So the critics have formed a committee. Well, some of your critics believe it will lead to vacancy control, which prohibits landlords from raising rents to market prices when a tenant moves out. They also believe that vacancy controls will lead to property deterioration and stifle investments in housing. What do you say to them?
Well, I would say that rent control has been around since 1919 in this country. It's an American tradition, and we have not seen that.
Okay.
You know, we do know that there is a cost. You know, if you are a landlord, you are engaged in a business, and there is a cost to doing business. And I think that if somebody owned a restaurant, you know, and they didn't want to like fix chip plates or, you know, do the work that needed to be done to keep, you know, their restaurant compliant and safe, then we would say, well, if you're in the restaurant business, you need to do that. Same thing with the housing, you know, with the real estate industry. If you're going to get involved in a business, right, which is the rental business, mm-hmm. you need to make sure that you are compliant with all of the laws in the city or the county to make sure that your, you know, your apartments are kept up. In addition, what I'm going to say is that in the California Constitution.
Very quickly, we're running out of time.
Okay. In the California Constitution, it allows landlords a fair rate of return on their rent. So if ever there was a law that passed that was unfair to landlords, they actually can appeal to the city or the county to make sure that their rents are kept at a level that is a fair rate of return. So landlords are pretty much covered in our California Constitution, just not tenants.
And that's it. That's all the time we have. Thank you, Susie.
Thank you.
My guest is Susie Shannon, campaign manager for Yes on 33. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on JPR.